Good morning, Pastor. Here to Trinity, and before we begin, I'd just like to. There's something that I've been thinking about, and since something happened today, I wanted to just kind of explain to the congregation. It's Mary Jean Carr's 93rd birthday. I don't know if you can stand up while we sing. Tim, could you do something on the ivories? Can we sing Happy Birthday to Mary Jean? She's the best blessed person here at Trinity for a long time. I guess 93. Okay. God's been good to you, though. Good to have you. And so we are very thankful for your birthday, and it's on this very Sunday, and so I thought it'd be fitting for us, especially since she's wearing a tiara. Please stand. We make our beginning today in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
Let us now confess our sins unto God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become children of God and bestows upon them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy on us. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament lesson today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 12. You will say in that day, I will give a thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, and I will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that he is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for right in your midst is the one, Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that is, and Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God, making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.
Stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel is written and recorded in the book of Luke, chapter 15. This text will serve as today's meditation and also just to remind us of the kindness and mercy of God for those who have wandered away from his flock and how they are returned. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Give me the share of property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who went and sent him in to feed the pigs of his field. And he was longing to be fed even with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go back to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as your hired servant.' And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son, who was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked, "What are these things and what do they mean?" And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed even the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are with me always, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this brother of yours was dead and is now alive. He is lost and is now found." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon each of you this day. Our text is taken from Luke chapter 15, the gospel lessons. You can follow along with the screens up front, pew Bibles in the front, and Mary Jean, you can pull your iPhone out and make sure and tag us on Facebook. We're glad each of you are here today, and our text is taken from the very familiar two parables found in Luke 15. It begins, however, with tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribe began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and he even eats with them." Jesus, the good shepherd, was dining with the undesirables. He was gathering those who of his day were the poor and miserable sinners, you could say. The tax collectors were licensed robbers from Rome who were collecting taxes and then added a bit more for their own purposes, skimming off the top for themselves. Jesus also was gathering with them those who would be classified as the drunkards, the prostitutes, the adulterers, and the like. The Pharisees, we also see and understand and are reminded who they were. They were those who had taken God's Ten Commandments And instead of the 10, they made an additional 590 plus, so that there were over 600 commands that they imposed upon the people of God, saying, these are the rules and regulations that you must follow if you're going to be holy enough for God's purposes. And so they were judging Jesus, and they were judging Jesus for the company he kept. And so as you and I start to see, we too sometimes can easily fall into prey and inside of the church as well, looking at and judging those who are around us. And I just warn you from last week's text, take heed lest we fall. God's word tells us also, I am the Lord your God, am holy. You shall be holy, even as I am holy. As I read throughout the rest of Scripture, I am reminded that my sins and my iniquities have separated me from God because he is holy and I am not. In the book of Romans, I read that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And from the book of Psalms, I find out that in my mother's womb, I was conceived and born in sin, not from the act, but rather from the DNA called original sin. Romans tells us no one is without sin, and all of us have fallen short of the glory of God, and that our throats are an open grave. Such we are as we see in the eyes of God. But in this chapter, we find the kindness and the mercy of God extended to each of us as poor and miserable sinners. Though we are children of wrath by nature, we find here in these two parables that we can become sons and daughters of God, even heirs of heaven. Luke 15 talks to us in two parables, two earthly stories with a heavenly intent. Jesus, the good shepherd, who would not leave the 100 sheep, as important as they were, he said he would leave all of them, but would not leave the one that was straggling behind, who had wandered off. The second parable we see is of a wayward son who had walked away, taking all of his father's riches and wealth, and then returned home, wanting to be hired on, even as a slave. It's a story of a father that restored a son back into the family. The kindness and grace of God is like salve to a burn, or like water to a dehydrated, dying person. My friend, who are you? The Pharisee who judges? Or are we the one who has wandered off, wanting to return? From the first parable, we can say this: wandering sheep can't find their way back to the flock. When I was in Montana, I remember seeing a herd. I actually smelled the shepherd before I saw him. If you know what I meant, you know what I mean. And as a result, when we were out there in Montana, one shepherd, 1,000 sheep or more, being herded and corralled by him, his horse, and a dog. And those dogs would just simply corral the sheep and get them to go in which way they'd go. And the horse and the shepherd would be leading them either from behind or in the front sometimes. But they got the job done. But when I asked the shepherd, I said, how are sheep when they wander off? And he said to me, they can never find their way home. You have to go hunting for them. Because if they go out in a hole in the fence, they're looking for that same fence and that same hole, and they cannot come back unless they find that one hole in that one spot in the fence. And so we have a good shepherd. His name is Jesus Christ, who will never leave nor forsake the flock, but he also will not leave even the one that's wandered off behind. He leaves no one behind. And it's with that message I wish to have a prayer here. Lord, make me, as your under-shepherd, empower me to be such a shepherd of this flock here at Trinity. Help me to never overlook or forget the one. Lord, help our elders and this congregational membership have such a care and a compassion for one another that we will leave no one behind. Forgive us, Lord, when we fail. The second parable, there was a young man who had two, or a father who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, he said, "Father, give me the share of my property that's coming to me." "Dad, give me what's mine. The part, you know, that comes to me when you die. I want it today. I don't want to wait for you to hand it over." What would you think if that was one of your children? If one of my sons would have done that to me, I would have been crushed, and probably you'd have to rewrite the parable. But what would the father have to do? He'd have to sell his house. He'd go to Desiree, my wife, and I'd have to tell her, "Honey, is it your van or my Ford Edge?" We'd have to figure out how much of the belongings were worth. And then we'd have to sell them and divide up all the profits or proceeds and then to give it that share to him. And then what was in savings, that little bit that's there, you know, for our future? We'd have to split it up too. It'd be huge and would rob my wife and I of our support for our future. But what if the father would have gotten sick, you might ask? There would not have been enough, perhaps, for him to take care of his needs throughout his life. This younger son had actually raided and robbed the family treasury. And for what? Our text tells us. Not many days later, the younger son gathered up all that he had, and he took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens. And his job? This little Jewish boy, now a young man, was feeding pigs. And he became so hungry, the scripture tells us in this story, that he longed to even eat pig food. You know, that unclean animal that they weren't even supposed to touch? He was now feeding them. And not only was he feeding them, but from their filth that dropped below them and the mud and the mire and all the stuff that was there, he was even willing and thinking about picking up the pods and popping them in as his daily diet. And he came to his own mind and his senses, and he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have more than enough bread and a place, you might say, to sleep and eat and all that that my father provides? I'll go back to my father and ask him. I'll tell him, 'I'm sorry, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be your son. Please hire me as a servant.'" The son had seen that he was such a poor steward of all that his father had given him. For he'd lost everything on an extended party of wanton living. And after hiring none to feed pigs, he went back to his father. Certainly he thought his life as a beggar is better than a slave in his father's house. He wanted a different life than the one he'd created and carved out for himself. And so he went home. It's at this point that I pause and realize that there are people in our life that we know who've wandered off of God's path and who are looking for a different way, who just want to have a different life. And they know and they realize, and you don't have to tell them, you don't have to beat them over the head, they just simply know that it's not going the way they think it should. And that certainly maybe God has a better plan. This son went back to his father's house. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. You could almost see in this context of this story of a father who would be kind of in the living room, dazing out through the window and looking out into the path that was coming down the way to his property and to their home. Just kind of wondering, "I sure wonder where my son is. longing for him to return, hoping that someday he would see him. This day was that day. And my friends, I want you to realize, if you've ever wandered off, if you've been that wayward son, if you've been that wayward daughter, if God has a plan and a purpose for you, that he may be calling you right now or your loved one right now, I hope you hear in this message hope. Look at what the Father did. As he came to his son, he didn't come with a club. He came with a smile. And he ran to meet his son. He didn't wait for his son even to get home. He ran to him. And he greeted his son. He hugged him. And you could almost see the father putting his hands on his son's face and then kissing his son. Even before the son had said a word, even before. But then the son said, "Dad, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I don't deserve to be called your son. Can you hire me simply as a slave?" And the sentence had no more than ended, and you can almost read in this text, and the father goes, "Bring my best robe, the one that signifies that this is me. The one who belongs in this robe is the one who belongs in my family. This is my son. This is the one who has returned home, and I'm restoring him as my son." And then the father took a ring. He says, "Bring the ring to me." You know, the ring in those days was really something that was used kind of like a signature, not a pen like we use, to sign legal forms, that spoke on the father's behalf and with his authority. With this ring, the son could sign documents, could speak on the father's behalf, even legally. And then the father says, "Kill the fattened calf. And bring my slippers, clothe my son. He's returned home." And with the fattened calf, they celebrated, they danced and made merry and rejoiced. As you and I start to see this, we see the beauty of what God has done for us as he paints a picture of us being restored in the presence of our Heavenly Father through the death of his Son, Jesus Christ. What happens when we're baptized? We're clothed in a robe of righteousness. When we're restored and returned unto God the Father, he places upon us a robe of righteousness. The same as his son. We're restored. What is it that is called? We're clothed in Christ. And when we start to see the beauty and the splendor of our baptisms, we also remember that we are empowered and called to be able to speak with the authority, like the ring, on behalf of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and are able to proclaim in the name of Christ that your sins and mine are forgiven, and to be able to proclaim that to one unto another. And what we see is that God's parable in the words of Christ here are so powerful for us. And the father said, "Kill the fattened calf." And I'm reminded in scriptures that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, the one like the fattened calf who had been reserved and spared for the biggest and grandest event that could ever happen, was the salvation of the world, the redemption of your soul and mine. And when God killed the spotless Lamb of God, he did it on Calvary's cross. And there your sins and mine were paid for. Though we had wandered astray, though we were sinners, poor and miserable sinners, Christ died for you and for me. And our sins were paid for. Like the son in today's story, we're redeemed, we're restored, we are again in the family, we belong because of what Christ had done. And you know what? When the father killed the fattened calf, there was celebration in the father's house again because the son had been restored. And Scripture tells us that when one sinner repents and is restored, is brought back into the family and knows that they belong, guess what happens in heaven? They celebrate. The angels in heaven celebrate over each and every sinner who is restored, who repents and is returned back to the Lord. Christ Jesus has conquered sin, death, damnation, and the devil for you and for me. And He gives us the victory. Like the son in Jesus' parable, you and I are restored. And as you and I hear this message for a certain hope, we have a heavenly Father, just like the son in today's parable, who longs to see you. Like the father runs to see you, embraces you because of his son, Jesus. And we are restored because we belong in the house of the Lord forever. But there was another son, an older son, who, as he drew near to the house, he heard music and he heard dancing, and he called out to the slave and he said, "What does all this mean?" And the slave said to him, "Your brother has come. Your father has killed the fattened calf because he's received him back safe and sound." The older son was ticked. Oh, was he mad. But he based his anger, judging not only his younger brother for his loose living, but also judging his father for his father's kindness and mercy. The older son justified his anger. To his father, he said, "See what good I've always done to you. I've never disobeyed you. I've done all that you've commanded. And not even one single young goat have you given me to celebrate with my friends." Just like his younger brother, was not this older brother now demanding what was his, laying claim to that which he thought was his share before his father had passed? Our Heavenly Father's wealth and riches, His grace and His mercy, are not something that we can earn, nor are they something we deserve. They cannot be demanded, but are entirely, freely given as His grace and love for you and for me. It's His response. The father of Jesus' parable says to us, "Son, you are always with me. All that I have is yours. It's fitting to celebrate, for be glad, because your brother, who was dead, is alive. Who was lost is now found." And we are reminded of what happens when that happens, when a brother or sister returns back to the flock of God, repenting and returns back home. Not only the angels in heaven rejoice, but so should His church on earth. In Jesus' holy name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. We now sing our creed. In God we believe, the Creator whose word brought life into being. As His voice was heard, Almighty Sustainer, Preserver and Lord, with all your creation we kneel and adore. In Jesus the Savior, our hope is secure. True God and true man, the cross He endured to grant our life's wholeness, forgiveness of sins. With hearts freed from guilt, we know true peace within. Spirit at work in our lives, we confess with His power and truth now the whole church is blessed. All saints, God's forgiven, one day we shall be with Father, Spirit, Divine Trinity. Lord and Savior Jesus, we thank you for being our good shepherd, for calling us back, for searching us out, and for leading us back home from wherever and whenever we have strayed. We ask you, O Lord, help us, your church, and your pastor, and your elders, to be able to do the same as under shepherds, providing care and love and compassion for the sheep of this flock. We pray also, O Lord, that you would help us to be able to receive and to welcome, even as the Father did, those who have wandered off. We ask, O Lord, for the spirit of your protection as we also reach out into this community with the love that you have extended to us. May we extend it to our brothers and sisters. May we be able to be your spokesperson, clothed in the robed in righteousness of Christ, be able to proclaim the forgiveness and the peace that is ours in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, we also pray for our school, that you would be with those who are searching for a new home of education. We ask, O Lord, that you would open those doors, helping parents to find such places. Be with those who are also in teaching positions in our K-8 school, that upon this school year's end, they will also likely need employment. May you, O Lord, open the doors for them as well, allowing them to utilize their gifts and their talents to serve you in their teaching professions. Lord, in your mercy, we also ask that you would bless our students and teachers in like fashion, to be bright witnesses in glory and your splendor unto the communities in which they will be educated and serve in. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, hear the prayers of those gathered this day.
Lord, the congregation lifts the following prayers to you. Pray for Tom Tobler for cancer treatment and ongoing stomach issues. Pray for Mike, prayers for healing with health complications. Pray for Jonathan, Daniel, and Liz Yaman for safe travels. We also pray for Greg that he has good test results Tuesday morning and for his healing. Pray for Diana, prayers during treatment process. Lord, we prayed recently already for Steve Rook. We pray for him now that he's passed away and that he is with you in heaven. Pray for the family, friends, and loved ones of Brenda Bond, who went to be with the Lord last night. We pray for Laura, I believe. Sorry if I'm reading this wrong. Healing and wisdom for doctors. We also pray for thanks. We've already had a happy birthday here for Mary Jean. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Lord and Savior, hear these prayers and all those that are unspoken. According to your grace and mercy, thy will be done. Amen. You may be seated. So thanks. Offering. It's offering.
Yes.
Of love and pledges they shall be, that our whole life is your will. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Let
us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and to give thanks for the boundless love for which he has manifested to us, when by pouring out his precious blood he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine, that is, his body and his blood, as a gift, guarantee, and a pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive then our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Thank you.
sing the Lord's Prayer. Kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins against us. Lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, power, and glory, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, in the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto them, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it, for this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you. Saints of old, saints to come. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated.
There's a few announcements here today. I think the first one, the weekly Wednesday Lenten devotions are continuing through Lent. The lunch hour, 12:10 to 12:50, and also at 7 o'clock, excuse me. Those who come to the 7 o'clock service, if you arrive early, you're invited to join us for a soup and bread fellowship and a soup and bread fellowship supper in the fellowship hall. We'd love to have you join us for Mr. Rich's amazing tomato bisque. Well, he cooks good, so I'm sure that's going to be good. Members of the ministry team will host and serve. Please note, if you'd like to volunteer to host and serve supper on Wednesday the 10th, please contact the church office. The next announcement is there's a campus cleanup on Saturday, April 13th. Spend the morning here on campus sprucing things up for the guests at Easter. Many hands will make light work, so more people make it go quicker. Please plan to share a few hours of your time to care for your church and campus. The more people participating, the faster it will go. Gather at 8:30 to 11:30 to tackle some yard work and some spring cleaning projects around campus. There'll be coffee, water, and donuts available as well. I have one more announcement that's not on the slides. This is the fifth Sunday of the month. It won't do a whole lot of good right now to tell you that that means you can bring non-perishable foods because you're already here and you can't go back home. But there's also the passive discretionary fund, so if you're so moved, you can donate to that. It's for any of the crisis projects or anything that comes up that Pastor designates the funds for. So unless Pastor has any more announcements.
I have one. Thank you, Brennan. We would like to acknowledge and thank God for your generosity. We've been, prior to this Sunday, 3 weeks since we announced the shortfall to you. And in that time, I am moved by how God has moved you. In pledges, we have received over $130,000. Thanks be to God. With the other cost-saving measures, we're not there yet, but we're much closer, like two-thirds of the way. And so we thank God for the generosity of the congregation. The need is still there, but we're making great progress. And in the spirit and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll get through it, and we're going to be better for it. And the Lord is showing us some fantastic things that are going to happen in Trinity's second century. So we're glad you're a part of that. I'd also like to say, as Brennan said, you know, bring your weak minds and your strong backs on Saturday, I guess. I don't know what that says about my weak knees, but we'll see if we can get there and do something. So, what's that? Well, that'd be good too. Well, God's blessings to each of you. Please join us for our final hymn, and please stand. Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy.